Abbey starts New Year's Day at 10 a.m. and can
miss something?
Wonder Woman was there, but she's lost all her powers.
Listen to the podcast on the 98.5 The Sports Hub app. Now back to Toucher and Rich on Boston's home for sports.
Mamacita, ¿dónde está Santa Claus? ¿Dónde está Santa Claus? And the toys that he will leave. Mamacita, oh, where is Santa Claus?
I can't say I've heard this.
I've never heard this one before.
Him because
not every day you hear a new Christmas song. Listen to that when I get home. I like it.
Ryan Johnston, Michael Hurley in for the guys today. Patriots with a win yesterday. We're talking about that. Talking about some of the playoff scenarios now and looking forward potentially to the postseason. But you got to take them one at a time. Wise man once said that.
And you got to focus on all three phases of the game.
Yes, indeed.
It's a big one.
Quick question for you, Mike.
What's up?
Somebody tweeted something at us earlier today. This was very early in the show today, about tipping your mailman
okay.
at Christmas.
Yep.
I'm just fine. Oh, yeah, Tony. So we were discussing how probably not a lot of people working today.
Mm-hmm. Right?
You know, people are getting ready for their Christmas festivities. Tomorrow's a day off, so like people take the long
shopping,
the long holiday. If they're
a lot of people got to shop,
absolutely. So Tony wrote in and said, I work for the post office. I'm working today.
Mm-hmm.
And then said, if you leave your mailman outgoing mail all the time, don't forget to tip at Christmas.
Do you leave your mailman outgoing mail?
I can't do outgoing mail where I live. We have like a community mail room, essentially. In our neighborhood, we don't have individual. They don't come to every house.
Oh, okay.
They come to like the center of the of
right.
the neighborhood and drop all the mailboxes. So and it does. There is no outgoing mail in there. So I never see. The only thing I know about our mailman is my dog loses his mind because the mail truck comes.
Right.
But is this? Do people really do this? I've heard of this. I mean, it's not like totally foreign concept. But do people really give their mailman cash at Christmas?
I think if you have a relationship, you know, like if you say hi and sort of know the person, I think it'd be weird to do it if you don't know the person because it could be a different person.
I was going to say, it could be a different person every day for all you know. Like,
if you don't, you know, have at least a friendly how's the weather conversation from time to time, it would be kind of weird.
Like I remember
it'd be nice. It'd be a nice thing
I remember
to do.
Like my grandmother's house, like back in the old days, there was like their mailbox was right next to their front door, and so the guy literally went like door to door dropping off the mailbox.
Yeah.
And so when he would walk up, you might say, "Oh, hey Mike, how are you?" You know,
I would venture to guess if you do want to tip your mailman, be nice to your mailman at this Christmas time, go with straight cash. Like don't bake cookies. The mailman
because you got to carry those around. The
mailman
rest of the
don't want your cookies. I don't know how to tell you. No, the mailman does not want your cookies. So, you know, stick with the money. Stick with the green.
I just wonder, what percentage of people do you think are actually giving cash to their mail carrier today?
I think a lot. I'm sure you saw the CNBC bar graph last week or the pie chart last week of how a 25-year-old making $100,000 spends his money. It was way off. It was a joke. But
yeah,
they
that
also,
was fantastic. Yeah. The $873.
Oh, this is the one where they give it like
$600 to charity.
Yeah, it was ridiculous.
$40 for a cell phone. That was obviously terrible. But they also had a graphic of all the people and places you should leave tips, whether it be like hairdresser, mailman, teacher, all this stuff. And the mail carrier was on the list. Give a tip.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, maybe this makes me look bad, but I don't know my mail carrier, so.
It's 2018. Who does?
Right. Really? I actually
well, I just
actively
don't talk
dislike...
to anybody. So
right.
like, even if the mailman was coming to my house and like handing me the mail every day, I'd just be like, "Hey, thanks." Like, I wouldn't engage in conversation generally. Not that I think badly of that.
Right.
I just don't talk to people
that I don't
already know.
That goes back to what we talked about at 6 a.m. of not liking humans. Or maybe that was 5 a.m. Maybe that was a little bit earlier. That was an off-air conversation where humans are kind of low in the food chain.
Right. Well, it's 8 a.m. and I still hate humans.
Yeah.
I mean, nothing has changed
Merry Christmas.
In the last three
Merry Christmas,
hours.
Everybody.
But I will say this. I mean, when I was a kid, I remember my parents tipping the mailman, tipping the Boston Globe delivery guy. But I feel like it's 2018. That doesn't really happen anymore. Well, but where we were living when I was growing up, the mailman would walk to the door and you knew him. Like, I remember his name was Rich. I still remember.
Well, the delivery guy, the newspaper delivery guy used to be like a kid on his bike.
Right.
Who used to also have to come and collect the money for your subscription.
Yeah.
Right. It wasn't, you know, they'd like knock on the door like once a month and be like, hey, it's time to pay up for your subscription. So like you had to give them money on a regular basis. So now it's just some dude in a car who, you know, doesn't even slow down as he drives by, just tosses it into the driveway and moves on.
It's a different world.
It speaks to our lack of, you know, human interaction these days. When we were kids, people would knock on your door and ring your doorbell somewhat regularly, whether it be to sell you something or a neighborhood thing. Now if someone rings your doorbell, you're like in lockdown mode. It's like,
get the hell out.
Who is on my property? It's I don't know. Maybe it speaks to that.
Mark, go ahead. You're up next with Johnston and Hurley here on Christmas Eve.
Hey, Merry Christmas, guys.
You too.
I put my Christmas card in my mailbox this morning for my mailman, and I am also a barber, and a lot of my customers come into the barbershop, whether they're getting a haircut or not, and give me a Christmas tip.
All right. Well, those are like regular. So you engage in conversation, though. Like if you're going to a barber, same barber all the time, like you kind of, you know, you're an ear to bend, a shoulder to lean on, you know, the whole thing. So
yeah,
I can see that.
I guess with my mailman, I have a day off during the week. So I usually see him on Wednesdays. And we've kind of, you know, built up a rapport. So I figured I'd Christmas tip him.
So how much? 25?
Yeah.
That's not bad. If he gets he gets that from a few people around the neighborhood, he'd be pretty happy. I would say that's, you know,
a little bonus.
25.
Let's say, I don't know how many houses is on a normal, how many houses are in a normal beat.
Like
for
a regular route. I mean, you've got to
be hundreds,
home,
right?
Yeah. So if like,
so if half, not half, if 30% of people leave $20,
I'd say I'd go 10%. 10% of people might tip their mail.
And how many houses are we saying a person does in a week? Probably a lot.
Yeah, on a daily basis. I mean, you're talking hundreds, right?
Well, I guess a day. You go to the same
Depending on where your route is and how spread out the houses are.
Take $20. You might be taking home a little grand, you know, a grand of cash.
Steve, you're up next here with Johnston and Hurley.
Yeah, I got family members that are mail carriers, and they make a decent amount on Christmas. They get tipped very well. And to speak with the last caller, the barber, my barber's my therapist. I tipped him very well.
There you go.
I get that. I mean, you sit there and spend an hour with person every month or so. It's you have a relationship. You have no choice but to have, though sometimes you get your haircut and the guy doesn't talk to you at all. It's kind of awkward.
Well, that's
that guy wouldn't.
But that wouldn't
Christmas
be tip. Your regular generally, right?
Right.
I think if you're like in a barber shop where it's kind of like one of those places where you hang a little bit, you know, you're.
I used to go to a place in Cambridge where you go around Christmas time. He offers you a shot. It's
a
nice.
Shot.
Yeah, I'm not going to say the establishment because it would be, you know, probably violation, but that was a good place around. That was a big tip.
Yeah. That's not bad. Well, you got to pay for all the alcohol you drank all year.
It's weird. I mean, I'm having a sort of introspective moment because I consider myself a pretty generous tipper. You know, I used to deliver food, so I think that
I always take care of the food delivery people.
Yeah.
Cuz I
even like pick up
the one job I ever had outside of broadcasting was I did a summer of pizza delivery. And it sucked.
Yeah.
And like,
you run into the worst people.
I still have not forgiven somebody who lived in my neighborhood. I was delivering a pizza in my own neighborhood. It was like four pizzas, an order of wings, the whole thing.
Yep.
And they gave me, you know, enough that there was a few dollars left over. And they
took it back.
They took the change back.
Yep.
Not only that. They made me count out like 37 cents in change out of my pocket too.
Oh yeah,
like
yeah,
I'm pulling,
that's the best.
Like I give them the bills back and they're still standing there staring at me and I'm like, "Really?"
Yeah.
So I dig into my pocket and I pull out, you know, quarter, dime and I give them that and they're like, "Thanks very much." And they close the door. My dad's like, "We should egg the house."
Yeah.
Like,
it's
I know where they are. They're right around the street.
I delivered food in high school for my dad's restaurant, the Genoa in Somerville. Rest in peace to the Genoa. And there was someone that ordered food right down the street. And I had to drive like around the one ways and go through. And I get there and they'd be like, "Oh, well, you only went this far. I'm not going to tip you." And it's like, "Well, you didn't come and get it. You didn't get out of your house so you could give me a dollar."
Jeff,
and pick up too. When you order food and pick up at a restaurant, those people often get stiffed on tips because you figure you're doing the work, but they're preparing it. They're putting it in
right.
the trade. So I always – I'm a very generous tipper, but this mail carrier situation is maybe giving me a little bit of a crisis.
Well, this one's really going to throw you then.
All
because
right.
Jeff, go ahead. You're up with Johnston and Hurley.
Yeah, I used to be a trash truck driver. Between Thanksgiving and Christmas, I'd get about $300 to $400 every year.
People okay. tipping the garbage, man.
Well, yeah, that's another thing.
I didn't know that was a thing.
That's another yeah. thing going back, you know, when the guys were on the back and picking the barrels up. But now the guys just come through with their robot
so
and scoop it
like,
in.
How would they do it? Would they just, like, tape cash to the side yeah. of the barrel? Well,
yeah, they usually tape a card, you know, an envelope. But you got to figure, Christmas, you're going to have a ton of trash out there. You tip your trash guy, he's going to take it all, no problem.
Mm. Wow, I never even thought about that. Like, so here's the thing with that, though. Wouldn't you, like, depending on where you live, obviously, but wouldn't you be concerned that people would just walk around on trash day and just, like, grab those cards off the, you could make a pretty good score.
Does depend where you live. Does yeah. depend where you
live. You live in a dishonest part of town.
Imagine getting caught doing that, though. That would be a real low point, no matter who you are, stealing the trash man's tip. But that's another thing. We used to, you know, maybe interact with the trash guy once in a while. But I don't know about you guys, but my town has the
right.
the prongs come out. They throw the barrel and they drive off. There's
yeah,
no,
that's what. Yeah.
What if it's municipal? What if it's private? I mean, how do you break this down? Like municipal, you're like, my tax dollars are going.
See,
to this.
Like my
tips though.
The trash company is different than the recycling
right.
company. Those are two different people. So like, do I got to tip them both?
If you're Jim Murray, I'll tell you that much. The recycling guys get nothing at Jim Murray's house.
Hashtag one big bag. Jason, you're up on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Gentlemen, good morning and Merry Christmas to both of you and your families.
Too.
So as I'm listening and talking, you're kind of filling it out perfectly. So it's a lot to do with where you live. So we live out in the country. We know our post lady by name. She knows our kids. So we leave her a sizable gift card every year. And the gentleman that just called steals our, you know, like we leave our, we pay for trash. So I never talked to that gentleman, but we always leave him a gift card as well. And I'll take it one step further. My wife leaves, you know, for both our kids and their teachers. So it kind of gets up there, but we do it and we've always done it. But I think a lot of it is where you live. So if you live in, you know, downtown Natick opposed to where we live out in Uxbridge, it's all relative to where you are. But we've been doing it forever. But I appreciate your time. And yeah,
right.
Have a great holiday.
Thanks, man.
Merry
you too.
Christmas. I think going back to that graphic that I referenced from CNBC, they have all these tips on people you should tip. Like a housekeeper should get 1 week's pay. A nanny should get one session's worth. Your gardener should get an extra week's pay for all of you that have
oh,
gardeners.
I have to remember to tip my gardener, yes.
If you live in an apartment building, your elevator operator deserves 25 to 50. The doorman, doorman's big
okay,
in like New York City.
Okay,
yeah.
I get
the guy who
first
pushes
of
the
all,
buttons on the elevator.
Why is that even a thing?
I protect
like,
safety?
Back in,
New
no,
York?
No, I understand the like having a doorman. I understand that. I'm talking about the elevator.
Maybe it's an extra layer of security. You know, they know who lives there.
Unless you live in a building with an elevator that's like 100 years old where there's still like the lever that they have to actually operate and start,
the metal gates go
start and stop the thing. There's no reason in any elevator where you just get on and push a button that there needs to be an elevator operator
yeah.
in there.
It's probably peace of mind for anyone that is worried about invaders or anything like that.
Like that guy, what's he going to do? Is some guy making minimum wage to push buttons in an elevator is going to tackle an armed criminal?
You never know. Some people live for that stuff. But anyways, this gets to, it says teacher, small gift. So all these people get an extra week's pay, but the person who teaches your child
well,
how to read and
like,
write
grease
and do
your
math.
Kid's teacher. Like, here's $100,
I mean,
make sure he passes that next test.
No, but
trying
can,
to get into a good school.
My wife's a first grade teacher. They give her, you know, sweets and treats and all that stuff.
Sure.
And little gifts and knickknacks and
right.
like a teacher sign and stuff like that.
Wait, you expect the kids to come in bearing cash?
Not cash, but I mean, if you're giving your gardener an extra week's pay, the person who, you know, waters your lilies, you could, you know, be a little bit nicer to the person who teaches your child how to be smart. Just an idea. I don't know.
All right. Well,
thinking out loud here. I mean, well, teachers are, you know, really overly well compensated, so they don't need the Christmas gifts.
Absolutely. Rolling in it.
It's ridiculous.
All right. We will continue here on this Christmas Eve morning. It's Ryan Johnston, Michael Hurley in for Toucher and Rich.
Toucher and Rich.
Get the app. Get the sports up. Get Toucher and Rich. Download the Sports Hub app today.
Merry Christmas. Merry Christmas. Merry Christmas.
We wish you a
Merry Christmas.
We wish you a
Merry Christmas.
We wish you a
Merry Christmas.
Bill Belichick in the Christmas spirit yesterday. Somebody put an elf on the shelf on the podium post game.
I think it was Lawrence Guy. I think there was a
video.
Is that really? I think so.
Ryan Johnston, Michael Hurley here with you on this Christmas Eve morning.
We know how Bill's spending his Christmas. Film breakdown.
Obviously. Got to get ready for the Jets. No days off, Mike. I don't know if you've ever heard that.
That seems like a negotiable stance.
There are days off. There didn't used to be days off. There are days off now.
That seems negotiable. Plus, we know Bill's more of a Halloween guy than anything.
Right.
Costumes
loves
and
Halloween.
Candy. Can't beat that.
Yeah. This, you know, I was talking about this over the weekend, but this has felt, there's so much about this season that has felt very unpatriot-like.
Yeah.
Going basically for the last year, right? When we got all the information coming out from behind the scenes about how, you know, Brady and Belichick aren't getting along the way they used to, and, you know, we're getting all that stuff, and then, you know, they lose the Super Bowl. Tom's got the documentary going on, and you've got, you know, all of this stuff.
OTAs.
Taking days off. Like,
the
Tom
Instagram
doesn't show
post,
up for
be free, be happy. Danny.
Yeah, like, there's been so
Gronkowski
much
unpatriot-like
stuff. Going back to the game against the Steelers last week, you know, illegal formation calls and false starts and stuff that we don't usually see out of this team, and losing
three
that
straight,
game against Miami a couple weeks ago
verticals.
The way that they did. And that's like, those are it's stuff that we make fun of other teams.
Of course.
We're now seeing it out of the Patriots.
Look at Brady's pick on the Burkhead play yesterday. I mean, I know there was a miscommunication, but why ever throw that ball?
Yeah.
That's one if Josh Allen made, we'd all be howling in the streets. But you know what? I not to toot my own horn, because I'm wrong more than I'm right, I'll be honest with you, like most people. But I did a story, and I remember coming in, and I talked with Fred about it here in, you know, early September, and I laid out the Patriots' schedule. I said, there's 10 games this year that are very, very losable. I'm not saying they're going to lose all 10, but each week is going to be its own challenge. And I said, it's sort of unpredictable, which we haven't seen around here since 08 when Brady was out. And I think the season has really played out to that, you know, forecast. I think every week has been its own unique challenge. And I think that story I didn't put a prediction in, because I think prediction posts are pretty stupid in September. But I saw 11-5 as a realistic ending to the year. Not to say I'm great and smart, but also I am great and smart and handsome. And I think if you looked at the schedule in September, the record is not necessarily surprising, but I think the way that they're there is the surprise. Like, their offense is sort of maybe barely hanging on to being a top 10 offense, and their defense is good some weeks and abysmal some other weeks. So it hasn't been this cohesive Patriots train sort of chugging along. It's just sort of been a lot of spikes and valleys.
Well, and then Belichick with his comment, you know, about how, well, nobody died. And, like, I mean,
that was the weirdest.
There's been so much, just, again, it's so unpatriot-like.
Well, so much
of this has gone on. It feels like the Patriots have morphed into just every other team in the league.
Yep.
That they're fallible. That they can, you know, that they can make the same mistakes as other people. And then they just weird stuff happens in the locker room that you don't expect is going to happen. And
we didn't even talk about Josh Gordon, the whole start to finish experience there. But I think what you said is true. It feels like they're back to being another football team. And I think we have to realize that, and we have to look at these other teams. There is no gargantuan beast in the NFL. There just isn't. The Saints are as close as it gets, but we've seen this past month, they've leveled off just like most other teams. I thought the Chargers were the one team in the AFC that hadn't proven that they're, you know, gag artists or whatever you want to call it until this week.
And you know what? If you can believe in, because I think a lot of people do believe in the Saints in the NFC, but if you watch that game yesterday, the Steelers should have beaten that team.
Yeah.
They should have won that game yesterday.
Don't call a fake punt.
If Mike Tomlin
fumble,
doesn't call
et cetera, et cetera.
A stupid fake punt with four. I love when Beto and Zoe do, like, why your team was stupid, you know, on Mondays, and they come
they
out.
They should,
like,
do that to the Steelers every week.
The Steelers.
Except when they play the Patriots. Apparently.
Really stupid yesterday. They should have won that football game. They should have made Drew Brees go 90 yards in the last few minutes of the game, and they didn't. They gave him a short field instead. Then they coughed the ball up at the end of the game, too. Like, that's a winnable football game yesterday, and that's in New Orleans. Like, that's where everybody goes, oh, well, you're not going to go into New Orleans and beat. Yeah.
That was close.
They can lose that game.
To an incredibly impressive stretch from the Steelers, who were coming off three awful losses where Roethlisberger was throwing end zone picks. They were a mess. We all wrote them off and left them for dead. They beat the Patriots, and then they're right there on the verge of winning in the Superdome. That was like, I was ready to be like, wow, the Steelers, you know, certainly exceeded my expectations, and then they came right back to what they thought they were. But to the Patriots' point, and what we talked about earlier, the fact that we think, you know, all these negative things, we're down on them, we're reminding of 09-06, the fact that, again, they're in double-digit wins for the 16th straight year, that doesn't happen in any era. Whether pre-salary cap, post-salary cap, post-2000, forget about the divisions. To win 10 games every year for 16 years, it speaks to just this culture that they've created where you can sit there and rightfully analyze and criticize a team that's going to go 11-5 and probably earn a first-round bye.
Mike in Wakefield, you're up next with Ryan Johnston and Michael Hurley. What's up?
Good morning, gentlemen. Merry Christmas.
You too.
Merry Christmas.
Listen, Johnston, I love you and Flynn on the weekends, and Hurley, you're great too, man. You're a great writer. I love your stuff.
Thank you.
Before I get to my Patriots,
I thought there was
point,
a butt.
I was ready for
there.
The butt.
Yeah,
I was
okay.
Like, but you guys are idiots.
No, there's no butt. I genuinely like you guys.
Thank you.
So before I get to my Patriots point, I just want to comment on the tipping thing. I actually am working today. I'm a personal shopper, and considering that three-quarters of my pay is tips, I'm really hoping for something special today.
I would hope so on Christmas.
Anybody who's paying for a personal shopper ought to have some extra income laying around that they could throw your way.
Mr. Johnston, you'd be very surprised.
Yeah.
But the people who do tip, they make up for the ones that don't.
That goes back to what Hurley said earlier. There's a reason rich people are rich, which is usually that they don't throw money around, right?
You know, you treat everybody the same and you hope for the best. That's my philosophy. So anyways, getting to my point on the Patriots, I was very impressed by the run game yesterday. Now, I know it's the Bills, but everybody gets paid to play the game. So it's not like you're playing a bunch of schmoes out there. So I was very impressed by the offensive line. James Devlin, incredible beast. I mean, if somebody doesn't give him a bonus check this Christmas, they're fooling themselves. I mean, that guy's an animal. I love the fact that CP is getting better and more comfortable in the backfield. I think it's a great place to use him. He's sort of becoming that Aaron Hernandez-type hybrid player. I just wish he could catch the ball a little bit better. You know what I mean? Maybe run some more routes. But I'm very impressed, and I think that the run game is going to be a big piece of the Patriots moving forward. And I'm not one of those Brady is in decline type people, but I think that something's probably bothering him right now, as most football players are at this time of the year. Maybe he's got a little bit of a nagging injury. And I'm glad that Sony Michel was able to step up yesterday the way that he was as well. And, I mean, even getting Philip Dorsett in the mix, I thought that was really impressive by Josh McDaniels.
I think they need more Dorsett, to be honest with you. I think he's not obviously – he's not a first-round pick type receiver, even though he was a first-round pick. He was an Indy, so there's a star in any Indianapolis first-round pick during the Ryan Griggs era that's more like you're a third or fourth rounder, but he's good. He's not a bum. I feel like I was surprised to see him so uninvolved and to see Hogan so uninvolved. It was weird, but the rush, we talked about the Bills being the best pass defense in the league, first, second, or third, however you want to rank it. They were top 10 in rush defense, too, 7th in yards per attempt and 10th in rushing yards heading in. They're not there anymore because the Patriots, I mean, I don't know if you want to get an effort or whatever in the Bills, but, I mean, it's not as if this Bills defense was bad in any way. They were a very strong defense, so to put up 270 rushing yards on them is no joke.
All right, we'll talk more about this Patriots game coming up, 617-779-0985. Matt McCarthy's got our Sports Hub headlines here on this Christmas Eve. Ryan Johnston, Michael Hurley in for the guys.
Toucher and Rich. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Toucher and Rich are always with you.
That's just gross.
Open the 98.5 The Sports Hub app, and you'll be listening to Boston's home for sports. It's just that simple.
Okay, you sold me.
Let's do something crazy.
Wake up with Toucher and Rich.
Oh boy, that's dumb.
Just tell your smart speaker to play 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Feliz Navidad. Feliz Navidad,
98.5 The Sports Hub. Ryan. Whoa. Ryan Johnston and Michael
Get In, Get
Hurley.
Out. Wish you a Merry Christmas. Get In, Get Out. That's the Felger of Christmas music. Cut it off right there. Why do we have to do a second chorus?
By the way,
what do we need a third chorus for? We already said Merry Christmas.
Just tying that in, that song is extremely repetitive, by the way. There's like four lines in that song and just over and over
and over.
Catchy,
though. You ever work in retail during Christmas season?
I have never worked in retail.
I did. Senior year of high school, I worked at the defunct Decathlon Sports, formerly MVP Sports.
Yeah.
You hear those songs quite a bit. We're standing there trying to sell golf and tennis equipment to people that don't want it. You become well-versed in the nuances of the Feliz Navidad song.
Trying to foist, overpriced materials onto people who don't need it.
I worked there for a month. I failed math. I had to quit. True story. That's it.
Failed math?
So I worked
What does that have to do with your career in sporting goods?
Well, I worked after school in high school, and it was 4 days a week, 3 to 10. So there wasn't much time.
Oh, you failed math, and so you had to quit the job because your schoolwork was suffering because of your work.
Quite severely. I also didn't have a good math teacher, so double whammy. Blame others. Whenever possible, blame others.
Well, that's pretty good way to go through life, just in general.
I'm perfect. Everyone else has failed me.
Obviously. Just tying that in, by the way, because somebody had just asked me on Twitter what I'm serving tomorrow night.
Oh, this is a big deal.
We have a 10.5-pound four-bone prime rib that's going in the smoker for tomorrow. That will be the main attraction.
Eh?
Yes.
How long does that take?
3-4 hours.
Not bad.
No, it's really not bad.
A little Christmas beverage on the side.
Oh yeah. Well, the Johnston family tradition dating back generations is whiskey sours on Christmas morning. You get out of bed.
Really gets the juices
while you're opening. While you're opening the presents, you need a little eye opener.
See, most people go with like a coffee drink or something like that, but you just go straight into it.
Homemade whiskey sours will set you straight for the rest of the day.
See, I'm at a point in my life with like two little kids. I never sleep. If I were to start drinking in the morning, I would make it to about 11 a.m. before.
Well, that's what happens. Is pretty much. Well, but the kids will. Aren't the kids ready to pass out by 11 o'clock in the morning, too?
The kids will not be passing out tomorrow. I can assure you of that. They will be...
Don't they get... What time... Is there a limit on what time they're allowed to get up tomorrow?
They're too little. There's no controlling a four-year-old and a one-year-old. They are...
Okay.
They are their
own
powerful
beast. It's not
like you're like 7 or 8.
It was always
seven
or eight. Rule in our house that you had to wait until the sun came up.
That's what we
and
try to do.
You can, before you woke up mom and dad. So it's like half the time was like... up in the pitch black, just waiting, wishing for the sun to come up so that we could go wake up.
We got
dad.
To a point, my brother and I were such pains in the ass that we just got to a point where my mother was like, we're doing gifts on Christmas Eve because I can't deal with you.
That's
little.
What my wife's family does. We'll be over there tonight and we do all the presents, with the whole family over there.
Santa came early to our house, so we were able to do that on Christmas Eve.
Okay. Santa wrap presents in your house?
Most of them, yeah. Because again, me and my brother were pains in the asses, so you gotta hide the identity of the gifts as long as possible.
Gotcha.
Merry Christmas.
Exactly, Bill.
Thank you, Bill. Patriots yesterday with a win. Tom Brady not the best day yesterday. We were talking about him a little bit earlier. He says he was asked about it specifically multiple times after the game. He wasn't injured. But again, wasn't a terrific day yesterday, and the offense continues to struggle a little bit. It's a little touch and go when even Zoe was he was pretty ticked off at one point.
Brady identifies the Mike defender off the left side of the defense for the Bills, takes the shotgun snap, 5-man rush, and a throw to the hands of Gronkowski, deflected and intercepted. The pass picked off by Poyer. He made the tackle on Patterson and then came up with the pick. And the Bills take over at the Patriot 24.
Do we really need to force feed the tight end to get him going? I mean, you got 179 yards rushing at the first half. You're trying to get a little bang square out. The ball goes through his hands. He's not ready right away, so he turns. The ball's there. It's a deflected pass. That leads to nothing but bad things down inside your own red area. So you come out empty and gun and start trying to throw the football over the field after you just ran it down and throw it all half.
Second interception of the game by Brady.
It's like you got too many toys on the field.
He's an angry elf. Holy smokes.
And you know what? Look, he's right. And I have every single week, I feel like, with this team, even when they play well, there's just some head-scratching things that they do offensively, that Josh McDaniels calls offensively.
Yeah.
You know,
well, I didn't dislike, I mean, you hate the result, but what's the problem with Gronkowski stepping out and making a quick little gain?
But your passing game hasn't really accomplished much, but you're running the ball all over them. You know, so just do what's working until it stops working. You know, you mentioned earlier, it's like if Cordell Patterson runs a jet sweep and it keeps working, just keep doing
but
it
at
until
the same
they can
time,
figure out how to stop it.
Let's say they run the ball and the Bills, you know, gear up to stop it and the Patriots go 3-and-out. We all say, why didn't they pass the ball on that drive? So I don't hate the play call. You hate the result. Gronk should catch the ball.
No, well, he should.
Edelman was open on the play, too. I mean,
that's a whole other conversation.
Right.
Rob Gronkowski, 3 targets, no catches yesterday.
But you know what? You want to feel decent about that? Because I'm sure you're dying to feel decent about that. Remember last year, week 17, Gronkowski kind of needed to boost his all-pro resume because he needed that for his incentives. He got 0 catches in week 17 against the Jets last year. He still ended up getting the all-pro. So we had a 0 catch day to end the year. Everyone was like, sort of like, what's that all about? And then we obviously saw in the Super Bowl he was still as dominant as ever. So I wouldn't get too terrified about that stat line.
Rob Gronkowski had not had the season that he has had up to this point.
You can be scared about other Gronk stuff. I'm just saying the zero catch
day from Gronk yesterday. It feels a lot different because we've seen him struggle most of this season.
Yeah.
And it's this is not the same guy.
No doubt about that. I'm just saying it separately, just looking at the stat line, if you're a fantasy football player, you're wondering what's up. I wouldn't necessarily put that in the terrifying column.
I mean, not to... Bill got that one right.
I don't know about that. Bill was ready to move on
from Rob Gronkowski.
I've heard that a lot.
He knew this was coming.
I've heard that a lot. What did he see in the Super Bowl when Rob Gronkowski was an unstoppable force that said this guy's toast? What did he see in Pittsburgh in Week 15 when he was again an unstoppable force that said this guy's on his way out? I don't buy that. I think there was, you know, outside influences that would influence Bill to want to make a move like that. I don't think there's any doubt it's outside influences.
And there's no doubt, you know, he's not happy about Gronkowski kind of stepping out onto his own and all that. But I would also say that he's in the room every day. He sees Rob Gronkowski, you know, not putting in the weight work that he used to because he's worried about pliability and, you know,
how'd that work out for him last year, though?
Okay, but you know what? Another year in, and he doesn't have the same strength as he did.
I think he's hurt.
Well,
I think something's nagging him. How could you watch him? Remember, they came out at halftime against the Eagles. They were obviously down, and they just said, screw it, let's just go to Gronkowski every play. And there was nothing. The Eagles mixed up their coverage every play. Nothing worked. He catches that touchdown over Darby.
I question whether he's still capable of doing that.
I do, too. No doubt about it. I'm just saying, I don't think Bill came off Gronkowski's 116-yard, 2-touchdown Super Bowl and said, yeah, that guy's toast. I got to get rid of him. I think it was outside stuff. I think it was other things.
But you know Bill. Bill always knows when to cut bait on a guy.
I don't.
Those guys go somewhere. If Rob Gronkowski was playing somewhere else this year, we'd be looking at it and going, Bill got it right again. This is the kind of season he'd be having.
Well, I looked at, and when the Gronk trade rumors and all that were going on, I looked at all the big-name players, the shocking trades Belichick's made over the years, and he never does it immediately after an all-pro season. It's always a year removed from that all-pro season, whether it's Logan Mankins, whether it's Lawyer Malloy, whether it's who are the other, you know, shocking trades that they've made or cuts. It's never all-pro season gone. It's always all-pro season, another season living off that reputation, and then you're gone. So I just don't buy that Belichick in March or whatever it was looked at Gronkowski's 2017 season and said, it's not happening. I think what's happened since then is maybe he got hurt, maybe something's slowing him down because he just doesn't have the same speed.
All right. Hurley's got something on his mind.
A couple things.
So he's going to get them off his chest when we come back. Ryan Johnston, Michael Hurley in for Toucher and Rich.
98.5. Toucher and Rich. The games are only half of it.
Mass, you loser!
Toucher and Rich.
When you're that short, it's more than okay to be a dick.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Zolak's the worst.
Deflategate, huh? I'm reading legal documents, huh? Deflategate.
Why is Michael Hurley so angry this morning? Hurl, baby, hurl.
So many documents. Pages.
Why is Michael Hurley so angry this morning? Hurl, baby, hurl.
It's all good, baby. No, that's not my thing.
Ryan Johnston, Michael Hurley with you here on this Christmas Eve morning. Michael Hurley, what are you angry about this morning?
So, yeah, it's kind of a tradition if I'm on Toucher and Rich.
Yes.
That Rich and Fred, usually both of them just make fun of me for being a little bit nuts, going a little nuts on the internet. I have a tendency to do that. And so this weekend, I shared an opinion that I've had enough of this. I've just had enough, and I tweeted it, and there was mixed reaction, as there generally is on the wonderful website known as Twitter.com. But you hear a lot of Christmas music these days, don't you? Do you not? You walk into a store starting in, like, early November, and the Christmas music's playing. That's fine. I'm not dumping on the holiday spirit. I am, however, dumping on two songs that there is no excuse to play anymore in 2018. Okay. With streaming services, with covers, with everything you could possibly have, there is no excuse to play these two songs.
All right. What do we got?
We've got Paul McCartney.
Yep. That's
Wonderful Christmas Time.
That's definitely one
the
of them.
The song is garbage, with all due respect to Sir Paul. Like, what is going on here?
I am a huge Beatles fan. I'm a huge Paul McCartney fan. This is quite
trash.
Possibly one of the worst songs ever
and it's
recorded.
Always on. It's always on. Anything that plays Christmas, whether it be a radio station or the stores or a coffee shop, this song comes on as if it's not pure garbage. And just, it's trash. It's terrible. Play a cover. Play an acoustic cover of it or something. Play, like, I'm sure Taylor Swift sings it. Unbelievable.
It sounds so dated, too.
It's like a bad acid trip.
Like terrible synthesizer.
It's so dated. It's so bad. And All right. Just the way we cut off Feliz Navidad. I need that because it's unsettling. And then the second one, and this one is maybe a point of controversy, but it's Wham's Last Christmas. I can't handle Wham's Last Christmas. You want to talk about working in retail during Christmas time? This song will make you rethink everything about your life when you hear it 11 times in a day.
I can't be with you on this one.
Listen, I don't care because it's just, again, play a cover of it. The melody, the tunes aren't that bad, but everything that comes, I want to do bad things to myself when the song comes on. I want to harm myself. Like, so, what are we doing? Like, what are we doing? Wham? Why are we listening to Wham at all in 2018?
Right. George Michael died on Christmas Day.
Oh, rest in peace. Maybe that's why we still listen to Wham. No, because we were doing it long before.
Yes.
I'm telling you, have you ever... anyone that works in a mall or a store that's listening to me right now has to agree, because those are the two songs that burrow into your brain and drive you absolutely nuts.
There's a whole
December.
Game built around trying to avoid hearing Wham's Last Christmas.
Is there?
Yeah.
I've yet to play. I need to get involved with that.
It's whamageddon.com. You can get the whole rules to it. The idea is that only the Wham original, so if a cover version doesn't count.
That's fine.
But basically trying to avoid Wham's Last Christmas from December 1st all the way
through. You can't do that. You're lying if you've accomplished that.
There are like a million covers of this song compared to probably like any other song, I feel like Taylor Swift.
Right.
And like
well, the covers are fine. If you run into a cover, I'm not going to lose my mind. There's something about the chemistry of these two songs that are just... there's no excuse. The Spotify now, you've got millions of Christmas songs you've never heard of. We heard Donde Esta Santa Claus today. That was a new one for me. Throwing that one right into the mix.
Oh, you know what? I forgot to ask Tracy. We need to find Santa Claus Wants Some Lovin'. That's become like an annual tradition on Christmas Eve when Flynn and I have been working.
Interesting.
That's a great one.
It's like your guy's song.
It's in the vein of, like, you've I'm sure probably heard Backdoor Santa.
No, I can't say I listen. I run in the same Christmas music circles as you do based on the past 5 seconds of conversation.
Well, a lot of people would know Backdoor Santa. It's kind of in that same vein. So we will, at some point in the next hour, we'll get some Santa Claus Wants Some Lovin'.
I can feel that.
I don't even remember how that
George Michael just came on the TV, by the way.
I'm not even sure how that came about. Like, we were working a few years ago on Christmas Eve, and this song came on, and... like Flynn started dancing around the studio, doing suggestive dances to Santa Claus Wants Some Lovin', and it just has become like an annual thing now. So I almost forgot about that. I'm glad we brought this up.
Maybe I'll check that out. Maybe I won't.
Well, you're gonna hear it.
I need more. I clearly need more songs in the Christmas mix because I can't. I am out on Wham for the rest of my life, and I'm out on Sir Paul McCartney banging his little keyboard. Oh my God! How does that still get played?
Because it's a Beatle.
So make a new one.
I know.
Make a new one. Make a
Amazingly,
different one.
The Beatles never really
Beatles
put
song.
Out like a Christmas album.
Just play In My Life by the Beatles. I would enjoy that more than, God, Wonderful Christmas Time.
All right. Let's get our Sports Hub headlines.
Stupid song.
Bob Soucy is going to join us coming up next. We'll talk about the Patriots win, their playoff chances, what we could see about against the Jets this week. all coming up as we move into our final hour. Ryan Johnston, Michael Hurley in for Toucher and Rich.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.